welcome everybody to this. I don't know if it's necessarily special, but it's a new format we're doing here once in a while that we're calling EYC After Hours.
Woohoo!
I'm Brennan, still here. Troy's still here too.
Hi.
But we decided that we're just gonna have a few episodes where it's just the two of us talking about different topics related to engineering and career, sharing some of our experiences in a little smaller, maybe more casual format than our normal interviews are. So
yeah, I think one of the cool parts about the show is that it's been able to bring up themes, I would say, that have been things that I think Brennan and I have wanted to expand upon, or even necessarily that other random things we'll probably bring into the conversation. But I think this will allow us an opportunity to kind of talk a little bit more about something. You know, when we have someone on the show, we want to get as much out of them in the short time that we have them. And so we try to let them talk as much as possible. But sometimes there's things that maybe we feel like we could expand upon that would help. And so we're going to maybe use this to do that. I don't know. We'll see what it becomes.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think we both have different experiences, and then what we hear from the people we talk about, kind of condensing that into some of our thoughts. So today, we're going to talk about the pros, cons, how do you do it, benefits, drawbacks of getting a master's degree in engineering.
It's
a big thing.
Sadly, no one calls you master when you complete it. That's con number one. I got through mine and I was like, hey, why is no one calling me Master Troy? Turns out
you decided you had to go back to get a PhD so you at least get official title.
Mm-hmm. So now people call me Dr. Troy. Yeah, people do it for the doctor, but not the master's. Yeah, think about it. It doesn't make sense.
I stopped too early. But
you could go back. There's nothing stopping you.
I know, it's true. Get a second, then I'd be double master. No one would still call me it.
No one will call you double master. I have two masters. You should call me Double Master Troy. Let's, from now on the show, Double Master Troy.
Double Master Troy. Double Master Troy. There it is. So we both got master's degrees. We both got master's degrees in mechanical engineering from the same university. So I guess there's not necessarily a ton of diversity in this conversation.
Nope.
In terms of programs.
None. There's none.
But I think we did do it for different reasons, though.
Yeah, and I would say what we did while we were doing our master's was quite a bit different. I mean, we definitely didn't go down the same path of mechanical engineering. I guess maybe we should start by kind of just shortly reflecting on why we wanted to get the master's. So I don't know if you want to start.
Yeah. So my master's degree was kind of a special program. So I have a master's in mechanical engineering, but the program I did actually was combined with going into the Peace Corps at the same time. So mine was a little less traditional. It involved a year of coursework, and then I was actually living abroad for 2 years, kind of doing master's research while at the time doing these other duties in the Peace Corps and agriculture, and working on projects that kind of fit into that vein. And how does mechanical engineering fit into agriculture in a developing world context? So I did a lot of field work during my time, and then came back to university on campus and was there for maybe another semester or two, writing up, doing a report and defending, kind of like you would traditionally. But mine was much more multidisciplinary. So I took mechanical engineering classes, but I also took some social sciences classes and got that all combined into one package. And I did that because it was something I was interested in. I was interested in going abroad, doing some different type of work, getting a different experience. And that I don't necessarily say it's at the expense of deeper technical knowledge, but it was wider breadth than deeper. So I covered a little bit wider range in all this, as opposed to just going deep into one subject, which is kind of the opposite of what you did.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason I got my master's is I wanted technical knowledge in noise and vibration. Like, I wanted to expand upon that. I knew after undergrad that I was lacking a lot, and I knew the master's would get me there. I spent all as much time as I possibly could taking classes and doing work very directly related to technical noise and vibration engineering. And so that was, even like all my extra classes, like when I took a math class, like I took a numeric class because I wanted to understand computation related to like FEA and things like related or modeling. Like it's, and that wasn't even actually that, it's like even more related to noise and vibration than that. But I think, yeah, there's that, definitely that aspect of the master's degree of like, I want to have more technical knowledge. And this is, I guess, the bigger point of the theme that we keep seeing in the show is when you get a master's, have it as the tool to achieve what you want to do and know that when you start. And so for me, I wanted the tool to be more technical knowledge. And I think for you, it was also technical knowledge, but it wasn't just that. It was also a broader life experience goal, which is great too. And it's one definite way to do that. And so I think it's just, it's interesting to see kind of the differences, but ultimately ending up with the same piece of paper, but it's still different, right? I mean, it's still like, yeah, it's still different.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think aside from wanting to get like a different experience, what I wanted to do, like, I also wanted to just go beyond what you cover in undergrad. Because when you get a bachelor's degree, it's fairly laid out for you in terms of the classes you have to take. You get some electives and this and that. But when you go into getting a master's degree, you can kind of, you can open up your horizons a little bit because there's different ways of getting one. I think universities sometimes do it differently, but you can go in knowing like what you want to do and go really deep in a topic, do a thesis option or a report option, which are kind of different amounts of coursework and research. Or there are some which are going to like a coursework only, where it's, hey, I learned some things in undergrad, but I really want to maybe go deeper into some topics or cover a broader range. Cause you only get so much time to learn in undergrad and you're only in that mindset for so long. Whereas when you're in a master's, it's definitely different. You can definitely focus kind of on one thing.
Right. Yeah. And so like at Michigan Tech, you know, there's different paths. And I think this is true for most universities. I'm going to simplify it, but there's like, yeah, the all coursework where you're going to take a bunch of different classes, 30 credits ish. So 10 ish classes, 10 ish. Sorry. I can't be right. Yeah. 9 credits a semester. About 30 credits. Anyways. And then there's also the classes plus research aspect where you're taking research credits. Sometimes they have like a report option like we did versus a thesis option, which thesis is just usually a little bit more research than the report option. But it essentially goes down to how much you want to tailor it to a specific thing. Like again, me, so my thing is like I wanted to be as technical as possible and focused in the possible noise and vibration. Well, Michigan Tech and the graduate level really only has so many classes in noise and vibration, not enough to give me 30 credits of it. And so I went with the research thesis option because then I could take all of the classes related to that technical topic, but then also do more in research of that topic. And so that's why I chose to go down that route. Where I think for others, you know, if you're trying to be more broad, maybe the coursework option is better. It really kind of depends on what you want to do, but there are those two paths.
Yeah. I think one thing that's important to consider is like we did ours right after undergrad. I guess you technically got an MBA right after undergrad and then went and got your technical engineering master's. I did mine right after undergrad. But there are a lot of people who don't do that. And going back to get your master's during your career, once you started your career and you're in it, I don't have any personal experience in that, but I see a lot of people around me that do that. And I think that can be a very different type of situation. Because you're not always, if you're doing it part-time while you're still working, you aren't necessarily like focused living on campus like you would be if you just continued after undergrad. And so it is a little different. And I think sometimes the motivation can be a little different for people.
For sure.
I think whereas we went to learn a lot and to get different experiences, I think it can kind of be a like focus on improving your career or getting a raise or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to talk to someone. Well, I guess we talked to Caitlin who got her master's while full time on her career to kind of switch careers a little bit and paths. Right. We've talked to some other people, but that's definitely a whole different set of conditions to consider there is when you're working full time and then going back to school.
Yeah, I would agree. And related to that, like while working, the other thing to consider is how internally motivated are you going to be if you try to do like the research option? So like the last 3 years, I tried to work on my PhD from a distance and it was incredibly hard because you set up your own milestones and it's a lot different. Like if you're going to go part-time and get your master's, you're going to do classes, you're going to have weekly assignments that are going to kind of push you and inch you along. But if you do largely research, it's like, well, if you don't set up goals, it can be hard to be motivated because you don't have team members and course projects and stuff. So just like, I guess my point here is that the research option is going to be a lot harder, I think, to do when you're working because it's going to be a lot harder to get that motivation to actually keep chunking away at it. And so I think that's another reason why people probably look at coursework options for their master's when they're working.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think something to also consider is that if you are planning on getting your master's paid for by your employer, your options may be limited. They may have special programs set up with certain universities. So if you're expecting to be able to go to MIT online and get a degree from there, that's probably not going to happen depending on who you're working for and where that's at in the country. They may have here is a specific themed master's program at this university that if you go to, we'll pay for. Or if you want to go out on your own, either we're going to give you less money for that or you're going to have to pay for it on your own. So if there's a specific technical area you want to learn, that may not always be an option to being paid for by your company. That doesn't say you can't pay for it on your own, but you might lose that opportunity.
Right. Even the idea of I work in, example, manufacturing, but I want to pivot and I want to get a master's in fluids. Well, if the description of your company says it has to continue to enhance your work, they may not say a master's in fluids, whatever, is going to do it. And so they won't pay for it. And so you really got to read it. Even things like how long you have to stay at the company so you don't have to pay it back. So there's a good reading to be done in the documentation on what exactly they mean by covering your tuition and what you're actually signing up for there and whether or not that makes sense. And that's just another decision that you're going to have to make, whether or not it's worth it to you to do it. Each company is different for sure.
Yeah.
Related to funding, we should probably talk about the idea of if you're going to go full time, how you can get it funded. So for me, I funded mostly by teaching. If you talk to your department, the mechanical engineering department or whatever engineering department, they have so many teaching assistantships every semester for the teachers who teach the labs and stuff. And so if you teach a lab, typically you get all of your tuition covered as well as a small stipend. Probably equates to less than $30,000 a year, but it's enough to pay for a cheap apartment and have food, basically kind of break even money, which is fine. Again, remember, there's this opportunity cost of getting your master's, right? You're not going to make 60, 70, 80,000 a year as a full-time engineer. So you give up that money while you're getting your degree. It's an opportunity cost. But you can go, and if you can get a teaching assistantship or something like that, you can probably break even, meaning you're not going to have to pay anything, which is pretty much what ended up happening for me. So that's through teaching. Essentially the same idea through research, where you get on a research project, either sponsored by industry or sponsored by the government, like NSF, National Science Foundation, something like that, where you can essentially do the work on that research project and then get paid. There are some things like the awards, National Science Foundation, like grants. Brennan, let's talk about how you got yours funded.
Yeah, so mine was funded through the National Science Foundation. So when you're looking to apply for grad school, you can also apply for certain fellowships along the way, usually from government organizations. So there's National Science Foundation, Department of Defense, NASA, National Institutes of Health. There's a bunch of them for a wide range of majors, not necessarily just in engineering. But a lot of those, what they allow you to do is if you have a project in mind for what you want to do your research on, you can apply to these fellowships, and it's really not necessarily a huge complex process. Mine was at the time, I don't know if it's changed, but it was three essays that were 2 pages each, plus your background of your technical knowledge and what you've done.
But if you're doing this while you have an incredibly busy undergrad semester, you'll end up being a zombie like Newbie was when he was filling out his fellowship applications. We lived with each other at the same time. And this was a period of time where Brennan didn't get much sleep. Let's just put it that way.
It was an interesting time.
But he got it. And that's important. It's an important distinction. What you're saying is if you go the fellowship route, you can pick your topic, which is pretty cool, which is different than the research option. You're going to be told what project you're going to work on. It may still be in the area you're interested in, so you may not care, but it won't be exactly what you're thinking necessarily.
Yeah. And so these fellowships, they allow you that freedom to do to work on the project you want to work on, and maybe even pivot if something doesn't work out, because some of the requirements for them are a little bit looser in terms of, as long as you're working on a project that meets certain criteria, you can keep doing that. But they're also they're usually going to pay for your tuition, and they're also going to give you a stipend on top of that. So you'll be making, you'll have your expenses covered. You basically, I got through my master's degree, a total of like 4 years or whatever it was, because mine was long, and I didn't pay anything except for like some student fees or something, but I basically was getting on the stipend anyway. So that's a really good way to go if you are really passionate about something, and especially if you think it can make, I don't want to necessarily say like make a difference, but a lot of these things are looking at like meeting criteria of how will this affect people, how will it make a positive impact. Those are all criteria they're looking at in some of these fellowships.
Yeah. And then there's the obvious way of funding of you just pay for it yourself. And I think that that's still a legitimate option. Like I'm not trying to say that that's a bad option, but starting with the options of funding, you know, it's just a different calculation in terms of what value are you going to get from it? And are you going to be able to pay that back? And I don't necessarily mean monetarily, like talked before about this idea of like, you can do the number crunching, right? Of, okay, master's going to take me 2 years. I'm going to lose out on making $60,000 a year. So it's opportunity cost of $120,000. I'm going to have to pay $40,000 to get it. So it's going to cost me 120, it's plus 40, 160. But what, you know, what happens after that? I reasonably think I can get the job that I like. I'll make another $5,000-$10,000 a year. So instead of making 60 in year three, I would make 65 or 70. And then you project that out over a 40-year career, making an additional $5,000 every year. You can work out the numbers those way. But I would, my recommendation would lean more towards the other way, or more towards the emotional side of like, are you going to enjoy what you do? Is it going to open up an avenue for you to enjoy what you do more? If that's the case, then, and you can swing it, then I think financially, like make it actually work. Like you can borrow the money and get to it, then it's still a great option.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there definitely is that trade-off, but knowing that financial trade-off, but then knowing at the end is you probably are going to get a salary boost compared to what you would starting as an undergrad. I know that happened to me. I was able to actually see what a bachelor's degree was going to make versus a master's degree. And I was getting a decent, boost because of that. But like you said, like the emotional aspect of it and what you're learning, like I think a big part of what I got out of getting my master's degree was just a much higher level of critical thinking of how to approach a problem, how to go about solving problems, identifying issues and certain things that you don't necessarily cover in undergrad. They try to teach you, but because you're trying to do so much in so many different areas, you don't actually get a time to like focus and think about it. Whereas in grad school, you're a lot more autonomous in a lot of ways. You have a lot more freedom to solve things. And I don't know, I think you also just in general are going to maybe more seminars. You're opening up your mind more to different opportunities and different technical areas or ways of solving problems. And that was a huge benefit to me that I think I've been carrying forward and trying to continue expanding upon, even though I've been out of grad school for a while now.
Yeah. And you said something, I guess maybe a little clarification here, but I mean that in undergrad, I forgot what you said, more free, or you have more.
I think in undergrad, you're sometimes constrained to a certain path of here's the class that you have to take to graduate.
Yeah. So I would agree that, I mean, essentially I would agree, like one of the best parts of the master's degree that was that I was always doing things I was interested in. Like the thing I hate about undergrad is like, I was constantly having to do things I really didn't have much interest in. But when you go to the master's, all of your time can be spent on things you're interested in. Like I really, really love grad school. Like I'm still a grad student to this day, but like it's fantastic for me because I love noise and vibration and I can spend all day, every day in it. Like it's not like undergrad where you have all these other things you have to take. Like all the classes I took during my master's were things I was interested in. All of my research was on a topic that I was interested in. Maybe not specifically, but in the general like area. And it's, like that's a big differentiator, like a big thing I don't think people necessarily realize, like, oh, like if you're undergrad, they're probably like, oh man, grad school, that sounds really hard. I don't know if that's going to be fun. But it's like, if it's in a topic you're interested in, it's a lot of fun because then essentially you're spending all of your time on something you're interested in. So the key point there, I think, is just making sure you're doing something in a master's that you're interested in. And then it's just fun.
Oh yeah, no, I totally agree. Like getting to work on something I wanted to do and was passionate about made a huge difference. I wasn't stuck in my case. I didn't really have much interest in noise and vibration. So I wasn't stuck taking those classes.
Yeah,
I was doing all kinds of different things. And also just like, I don't know, getting to explore even using different programs or, you know, learning how to code or doing all these things to solve your different problems. Like you have a lot more freedom. You kind of get to set your own pace in some way. There are deadlines and things, but it's not, it's a little less about there's an assignment due tomorrow and more about, you know, in 3 months, I need to have these many, you know, milestones on my research project done. If you're doing a research.
Right. Project. When you're doing the research option, I should clarify, like if you just do the coursework option, it's still going to be very, very heavy, like homework assignments, exams, like, it's from my experience watching other people who are just doing the coursework option. It's very, very much like undergrad of like, okay, I have this many homeworks this week. I got these exams to pay for, prepare for. I got these projects that I got to work on. But just the difference being they're hopefully all in classes that you're interested in. Like that's the master's. But one of the reasons I really like the research report option of the master's for me was that it gave me the research credits, which allow me to dive in and do the things like you're talking about and have more time to do that. So I guess a little bit of a clarification there, I guess, just to make it clear. And one thing related to the salary, sorry, before I forget. As an example, if you Google search SAE salary calculator, there's a website you can go to and you can actually look at a bunch of different criteria and look at the salaries of SAE, Society of Automotive Engineers, like years of experience, bachelor's, master's, doctorate, working for an OEM or a tier one, tier two, tier three, or working in what region. And you can actually look up the mean salary they have with standard deviations. And so you can use that data to compute how much more money would I make with a master's degree. But that's just for the automotive industry. But just so everyone who's listening is aware that that exists, you can actually get access to that data.
Yeah. So what, when we think about getting your master's and like what everyone else is doing, I guess, what I'm trying to think of, if I think of all my coworkers, how many of them actually have master's degrees? Because I think sometimes it's easy to think like, you know, the master's is new bachelor's or something, but I don't think that's, I think sometimes there's the vision of that, but I don't think that's actually the case. I think, I guess I don't know, so I shouldn't necessarily speculate, but I think less than 50% of my coworkers have master's degrees at this point.
Yeah, I subjectively, I would think that as well. It's definitely not like everyone's getting them. I mean, I'm trying to think in my old company, there was eight or nine engineers, and I think only three of them had master's degrees, including myself, maybe four. I think it really depends on what you want to do. But I will say, like in my old organization, like when there was technical problems, it was the people with master's degrees that were often the people that were seen as the go-to people to solve them. Now, some of that I think is bias, right? Like if you're interested in technical stuff, you're probably going to go get a master's anyways. And so that's not to say that you couldn't do that with just a bachelor's. Like if you're interested and you're always learning, which you should be, even with a bachelor's degree, you can still become very technically strong. I don't think it's too surprising that like if there's like a, hey, we have this piece of software and it's asking us this button, do we click it or not click it? What does it do when we click it? Like those answers come in the master's degree or in graduate school, maybe not just master's, but PhD. Like if you are using a piece of software and it has a bunch of different buttons to do some analysis, a graduate level education is going to help you understand exactly what each of those buttons do and what math they use. Like maybe that to think about it a different way.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting insight. I guess I don't necessarily see that the same at my work. I don't think of differentiating people between person who has a master's and person who doesn't as being able to solve a problem or not. But that's also where we worked at different country or different companies in different industries that kind of had different cultures around that.
Yeah, and my work was really, really specific. I mean, I was a noise and vibration consulting engineer. So it's like, it's like very, very specific.
Yeah, mine is a lot more broad range. So
right. And so, I guess that's a good point, a good thing to take into consideration. But we talked about funding, talked about different types. I guess let's walk into what we feel like the benefits are now that we actually have them and we got a few years of experience.
Yeah, definitely. I had touched on this a little bit before. I think the benefits for me, and this might go specifically to the program I did, but was just having a different view of technical problems, as well as thinking about how that fits within like organization and how people work. My master's degree kind of led me to do a lot more reading on innovation and problem solving and design in a lot of ways. And so I tend to take a lot of not necessarily specific technical skills that I got, but some of these, I don't necessarily say soft skills either, but non-technical skills, and continue that forward into looking at problems in my area and looking at how I can learn about them, how I can apply different methods to my job, and to teams and things, and going forward with that, because that was just the content that I learned in grad school. It wasn't necessarily deep into, I did not take a single class in engine calibration, which is what my day job is. So there wasn't like a direct transfer of skills, but there was a direct transfer of process and thinking and problem solving that I definitely wouldn't have had if I had quit at, if I had quit right after undergrad. Going forward definitely opened up my mind to solving problems in a different way. That's been the biggest thing I think that I've seen. It also, for my career in general, like having my master's degree gave me a whole nother thing to talk about in job interviews, for projects I worked on and what I learned, which you may not need depending on where you're at in your career, but it definitely gives you a whole new conversation when you're first getting that job right out of school of, hey, here's some projects I worked on. Here's something I went deep on. Here's what I learned and how I implemented it. And I found that to be pretty helpful when I was looking to get my job. These are things that are probably very different though than what you found to be your benefits.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think it's surprisingly similar. I mean, I would agree that one of the biggest takeaways is this understanding of how do you learn better. And like in undergrad, you have to learn, but there are problems that are solved already. Like if you're trying to learn a problem that's in a textbook, the answer to that problem has been known for tens of years. Like when it gets to the point where it's already where it's in a textbook, like where someone has researched it to the point where they understand it, where then they write a chapter in a book about it. Like it's years past that, because you think about it, like if someone's going to research something, they're going to write journal articles first. And then once the journal articles get, you know, additional articles related to them and get essentially substantiated, then it's to the point where it becomes communal knowledge. And then they put it in textbooks. So it's probably well over 10 years from the time that it's first found to the point that it's in a textbook. And so if you're trying to solve problems in a book, they're old problems relatively. And so if you're going to try and learn new things, that's a different skill set than what you learn in undergrad. Because in undergrad, you learn how to solve problems that have already been solved. And that's not to say it's not important. Like that is an important step in the education process, but it is a different step to learn how to learn something that's not known right now.
Definitely.
And it takes a lot of different skills. To your point about being broad, typically, especially nowadays, everything's so multidisciplinary. All the problems that have been solved, like, they're like saying in a single discipline, like they're not there anymore. It's like all the problems that I'm seeing are all like electrical and mechanical and chemical. You have to have a broad multidisciplinary knowledge to solve them, because you have to constantly ask the universe questions and then i.e. run experiments and then gauge those results. And so you have to know how to design experiments to ask the question appropriately, and you have to know how to interpret the results. And those are skills related to figuring something new out. And I think that's what I really liked and learned about grad school, and the power that it gave me is how do I approach something I don't know. And it's very similar, I guess, what you were saying though, Brendan. It's like, I didn't take any class on engine calibration. I now do that full time because I learned something I didn't know. Now, engine calibration was known before, so maybe what you did could be done with a bachelor's degree. And it probably does, because you said some of your colleagues have a bachelor's degree. But yeah, I guess maybe that's kind of how I frame it in terms of the learning knowledge that happened to me in grad school.
Yeah, it is awesome to be working on things that like no one else has done in your grad program, to be like, here's a problem that maybe people have done similar stuff to it, but they haven't done this exact thing. Like there is some new knowledge to be gained here, some new analysis to be done, some new way of looking at a problem. And I had a professor in college, and I remember for PhD, he's like, if you're getting a PhD, you basically have to be creating new knowledge that no one has ever like known before. Like even though it might be very specialized in that area, you're doing something that no one has done before to add to the body of knowledge. Like, and a master's degree is a step below that, in that you are maybe working on a project that no one has applied this knowledge to before, or you're coming up with a smaller subset of it, but you are still working on something new. And it's pretty cool to be like, I'm doing something new that no one's done before. No one's looked at this problem in this way. How am I making an impact in what I'm doing in my master's? And I think that was definitely really cool.
Yeah, the analogy that I like to give is imagine knowledge is a circle, okay? And you're standing, when you're born, you're standing in the middle of the circle. And if you walk north in the circle, you're learning math. If you walk south, you're learning history. Like, it's this idea of as you walk out towards the outer edges of the circle, you approach more deep knowledge. Like, your first step north is learning to add. Your second step north is learning to multiply. And you can get your master's in mathematics. You can get your PhD in mathematics. And when you get your PhD, what you're doing is you're actually extending that circle a little bit at one infinitely small point. And you can do that going north. You can do that going east. You can do that going south. But it's this idea of, like, PhDs are largely expanding the circle of knowledge, meaning they're finding new things, and other people are working in the realm of things that are already known. That is the circle of knowledge. It's kind of a different way to think about it, but
yeah, no, that's really good. What you are, yeah, you're adding to the body of knowledge that's out there, and you might be changing things. So people who come behind you, they're going to go to where you were at, and they're going to go even further. Right. You're like, you're only adding to it. Which is pretty awesome.
Right. And yeah, so I hear people say this quite a bit, but this idea of, like, when you get your bachelor's degree, you think you know everything. When you get your master's, you start to kind of realize you might not know everything. And when you get your PhD, you realize you know nothing. Because if you're a person that literally has added an infinitely small part of that circle, you realize there's a 360 other degrees of that circle and beyond that no one knows.
Yeah.
So you literally know nothing. Relatively, yeah. Like if you consider your priest to be infinitely small in this infinite potential of knowledge, you'd literally know zero.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So interesting. Sorry for the downer. You actually don't know nothing, everyone who's listening, but
surprise,
keep trying, get a master. No, no, I'm just kidding. Funny with it.
Yeah, but, no, I think, yeah, it comes down to personal preference in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a master's or not, if you are not excited about getting a master's or the thought of it, I don't know if I would necessarily commit to doing that. It can be a lot of money. And it's definitely going to be a lot of time and energy.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. I mean, we've said that a little bit, but just so everyone's clear, like, getting a master's degree is going to be a ton of work. If you have other life obligations, like, getting a master's is no joke. Maybe we made it sound easy. Hopefully we didn't give that impression. Like, it's still a ton of work. But I think maybe what we're just trying to say is, if it's related to something you're interested in, or in, like, where you're going to be doing a lot of work in a field you're interested in, it'll be a lot more fun than work.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to put it. A lot of work, but worthwhile work if it's what you want to do.
Right. Yeah. And even if it's a lot of hard work, but it gets you to that point where you really think you can get the job you want from it, like, also something you should be considering. And so for me, having the degree, like, the benefits that I got are this, the ability to learn something new. I really like that because I apply that in all my side projects. Like, I love being able to learn. But it also has opened up this possibility for me to be a PhD student, for me to potentially become like a research engineer in the future, where I'm just constantly working on new innovative things. Like, it's essentially opened up a career for me that I'm really, really interested in and excited about. And so I think that's the other big benefit that it's had for me, is it's opened up doors to opportunities for my career that I'm really excited about.
Definitely. No, I totally agree. Sweet.
All right, man. Well,
you got anything else to add? I don't. I think I've shared all the knowledge I have for the most part about pros and cons getting a master's degree.
Right. Right. Yeah. So if you're listening, let us know your thoughts. Let us know your questions. We didn't talk at all about my master's in business. Which is fine. Like, we want to stay on engineering side, but if we have people who are interested in me talking more about that, that's good. We also have an episode coming out soon, Kevin, where he's going to talk about it a little bit more too. So yeah, that might answer some of your questions too, if you're wondering about the MBA side of it. I guess listen for that Kevin episode, but let us know. You can email us. Our emails are on the website, or admin@eycpodcast.com. We'd love to engage with you guys. Talk a little bit more about what you want to hear. If there's other types of people that you want to have on the show, we'd love to know.
Yeah, definitely. Feel free to hit us up at that email. We're on Twitter at EYC Podcast. But yeah, if you have any questions about master's degree or anything else in engineering career, let us know. We can answer them on these after hours shows. And if there's any specific topics you want to hear from us, let us know. We're excited to bring you guys what you want to hear. So thanks for listening in today. Troy, it's good talking to you. I'm liking this format. I think it's going to work out well for some, for some good combo.
EYC after hours. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. That was SportsCenter. That's not. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. We're gonna get all of our revenue. We don't make any money anyways, but if we did revenue generate with this, it would get clipped and get all sent to ESPN.
Yep.
Dang it. All right, man. Talk to you later. See ya.
Sounds good. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Engineer Your Career with Troy Bauman and Brennan Timrak. For more information about the show, visit our website at eycpodcast.com. There you can find show notes for each episode and get in touch with Troy and I. If you or someone you know are an engineer with an interesting or even not so interesting career journey and would like to be on the show, go on the website, send us a short bio, and we may just invite you to come on and share your story. And finally, if you want to show your support, please rate, review, like, or subscribe to the show on your podcast player of choice.